Well, hello, my fine friends. Welcome back to Destination Discourse. And I am joined today with the wickedly talented Adam Stoker. How are you, Adam?
Wow, I'm doing great, especially after the sound effects and the face that you made.
That was my John
It was great.
Travolta impression. You don't get it? That's 10 years old now. Remember when he said Adeline and Zandibur instead of the real name? You know what I'm talking about? The meme
Before
of him?
my time. Before
Oh
my
my
time.
Lord.
Oh,
Just
I'm a
go
Broadway
Google the
person,
wickedly
so
talented.
I remember.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. So you're wickedly talented today, but I don't really mean it. But I did get your name right. And Adam, you're going to struggle today. You're not going to ask me why you're going to struggle today?
Well, sorry, that didn't seem unique from other days, so I didn't realize it elicited a response.
No, there's two extra guests today again, and we know how you struggle with when there's two people forgetting their names. So
Yeah.
I'm just, yeah. Well,
You
hello,
guys,
anyway, guests
I'm
to the
actually
show.
having audio issues. I'm sorry, my AirPods have stopped working, so I'm going to take them out and put them back in. So you go ahead and introduce our guests.
Yeah, I see
Okay.
I see the
Is that
tactic.
How it works?
Oh, clever.
All right. Well, let's go first. Repeat guest. I think three-peat, four-peat. I don't know. You're welcome anytime. She's almost like a co-host, Jeanette Roush. How are you?
I am great. And I think this might be three times. I don't know. I've started listening to the podcast. So I'm at the gym on like 3x speed. So I now to hear your voices at regular speed, I'm like, oh, okay. I can relax now. It's not like so manic, but I feel like I'm on every week because I'm always listening to you guys
part
in
of
my
the show.
ear. Mm-hmm.
Totally fair. Totally fair. And new friend of mine. I know you know Adam. We've never met before, but Dan, am I saying the last name right? Hollowack. Is that right? Hollowack.
Yeah, that's right, Stuart.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to make a joke about Star Trek and holodecks, but I'm probably not. It was probably not going to be a PG one. So I'm going to just move
Why
on.
not?
Dan, well, welcome to the show. It's going to be at your expense, Adam. So it's fine. Are you back with us now, by the way?
I am. I'm back. I can hear you, unfortunately. So yeah, we're good.
Well, I'm going to warn the audience, PSA, like we've been on a couple of calls today already, Adam. We've been a little sparry and feisty. You're trying to sell me stuff. I'm trying to tell you it's too expensive. You're not listening. So this could be good. And we're going to
Typical
talk
agency
about
relationship.
Exactly right. Yeah. You know what's funny is people say, do you guys, because you have this podcast, is there an ethical quandary because you also have a business relationship? Having this podcast actually hurts Adam's ability to get our business because I'm way more strict on him than I am on anyone else. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a coach or you're the coach of the soccer team is a parent of one of the kids. There's two ways you can do it, right? There's the coach that puts their kid in no matter what, even if they're the worst player. But I was always the coach that my kid had to work twice as hard to get on the team. So
Mm-hmm.
that
It's
is
the
the worst part of
analogy.
the time. Yeah.
In this analogy, you're the coach and I'm the kid. I want to tell you, thanks, Dad. Thanks.
You're welcome, buddy. We're going to be talking AI today. It's going to be amazing. We've got two of the industry experts, but this is, fair warning, not a 101. We're not going to be talking about what a prompt is and any of that nonsense, right? Jeanette, we had a little rant about that last week in your little DI, or not DI, AI session. And I think we're tired of listening to the same 101 education game. We're going to get a little deeper today. And I'm for one, I'm looking forward to that. It's what's needed in the industry. But hey, before that, it is time for the greatest segment in all of Destination Marketing.
Don't hit play. Don't hit play. This is my surprise.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. Couple.
Okay.
All right. Let's see if this, tell me if the sound doesn't come through.
All right. So you're going to share instead? This is a first for the, I mean, we are breaking new ground.
We're not
we can't
hearing
hear
it,
anything,
Jeanette.
Jeanette.
We're not hearing it. I see you
damn
dancing.
It. Oh, it is so good. Okay. Oh, do I need to share my screen with the.
Yeah.
You have to click share sound.
Share sound. There you go.
Share settings.
And who would ever do such a thing, dance to the jingle without it actually playing for everyone else? I don't know anybody that would do that.
Adam, it makes you feel better
share
for sure.
Share sound.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
All right.
Let me take it back.
Yeah, we're keeping it fresh. Stu's News News, coming to your door. Stu's News, and a little bit more. Jeanette is here and Dan is on the line. Stu's News is the place where the the facts align.
Oh, wow.
Stu's News, yeah, the briefing is live. Just a couple of facts for the souls who arrive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and it goes on.
Why are we laughing at the whole thing?
Dan, what was that on your shoulder during this thing? What were you?
Oh, it's my little lobster.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it an open claw?
Yeah, it's my little open claw lobster.
Oh my god!
Open claw lobster.
Oh, we that is amazing.
We were at at a kid's store for our 3-year-old, and he was picking out a gift for a friend's birthday party. And I looked at my wife, and I picked up this little lobster, and I was like, "Honey,
oh, that's super cute.
Can I have it?"
Yeah,
and she turns to, and she said yes.
Like, and this for my husband.
That's amazing. Well, Jeanette, you've outdone yourself, even your high standards. Actually really like that jingle. It's way more my chill vibe, you know? It's where the facts align.
There's a nice long, like 16-bar intro. It's a minute and a half long. And I made it at the gym today. So,
oh, wow. Look at you.
Because I was thinking, oh, God, when am I going to have time to, because I had like stuff stacked up today. I was like, in between sets, I'll do it. Let's see if it can do something that doesn't suck. And then I was like, yeah, okay, let's go.
That's pretty cool. Can you share that with me? I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes, and everyone can listen to that full version anytime they want.
Also, the screenshot of your last several ChatGPT prompts would be really helpful for the rest of us as well.
Oh, good. Oh, my God. Now I'm looking at that. Now I'm embarrassed. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I can block that from the video edit. I didn't see.
Yeah, we don't need that on the video edit.
I'll make sure that doesn't show up.
I was laughing at the one that said 16 plus 5.
Where is
just kidding?
Just, oh,
she's doing basic math.
What? Oh,
wait, need a $100 a month Claude co-work subscription to do 16 plus 5.
Oh, no, it's like Broadway union contracts and NYC like Chinatown spas and Harlem happy hour deals tonight. And what's wrong with the roof of my mouth and hormone replacement therapy? Like it is
sounds,
the whole.
I mean, to be fair, that sounds like that could have been Adam's thing. List as well. That's pretty on point.
Were you sharing my screen?
Right.
I like how we've all kind of glazed over just how productive Jeanette seems to be at the gym, listening to things at three times the pace. How fast are you running at this gym that you have things on 3x? Plus, you're like spinning off prompts and generating content while you should just be working out all day.
She's the master. She's the master Lord. Multitasker.
No wonder I'm so tired all the time.
Well, I guess we need to get into Stu's News. So Stu's News is very apt today. We're going to be talking about, last couple of episodes we've been talking about Claude Cowork and Claude Code, and then Claude Design came out. But I got to tell you, my team is very excited about this last one. They just released a ton of connectors just a couple of days ago for a ton of design tools. Especially, they're really excited about the Adobe suite of products. So now you can use text prompts to control Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Premiere, tools like that. So you can actually have a conversation with your computer with real natural language, and you can do your design without having to touch a mouse. It's ridiculous. Like, you can do all this kind of cool stuff. I mean, if we were even remotely not thinking about getting our creative folks $100 a month subscription to Claude, we 100% are now, because this is going to save them countless hours. Amazing. We're super happy. Yeah, any response to that, Adam? We'll go with you first.
I haven't tried that yet. I saw that it was released. But I mean, it goes back to, we started talking about Claude Cowork, what, like 4 weeks ago in podcast years, right? So 4 weeks ago, we started talking about Claude Cowork, and we're at the point now where you can voice design. Right, like the progress in 4 weeks is absolutely ridiculous. I think that's a really important thing for everybody that's listening to recognize. There are things that you haven't been able to do with AI over the last several years, and you've always said, and that's why I'm not ready to do it yet. We're beyond that. It's changing so fast that there is no I can't do this yet excuse, because in 3 weeks you will be able to, and you've got to get good enough at Claude Cowork in its current state in order to be able to utilize the next set of tools, next round of tools that's coming, and waiting until your specific tool gets connected to Claude Cowork is not the answer. I just think it's time for everybody to jump in.
Yeah. Jeanette, are you guys using this yet? Are you looking to use it?
I mean, we are completely all in on Claude Code and Claude Cowork. Now, I will say, boy, I am not a designer. I am like, that is not my skill set or my brain. So like those specific connectors, like I'm not sure what exact tools our design suite uses. And I just had to cancel our, you know, biweekly check-in today. So I didn't have a chance to really touch base with them about it. But we just like brought a new person on board to the team. And we did what I hope every DMO is doing right now is when you're hiring new people, make, you know, put AI in the job description. Like they don't have to be an expert today. Like nobody's an expert. It's all brand new, right? It's all being invented right now. But at least hire people who come on board with that curiosity and that desire to learn more. And I know the person that just started, I think today was her first day. I know, and I haven't met her yet, but I know that she has like a great deal of excitement about working with these tools. And so making sure she is set up with everything is a big priority for us.
That's amazing. Hey, real quick housekeeping while we're live, we won't edit this out, but can you check your mic? You're sounding a little echoey, like you're at a distance. Oh. So while Dan's talking, we'll have you take a look at that. But Dan, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, this is on the back of, to me, it's building upon the launch of Claude Design that came out a couple of weeks ago. So it was a huge, Claude Design was one of the biggest moves I've seen from Anthropic in the last several months. Claude Design is basically, it's a whole new portion of the desktop app for Claude that specifically is building, it's building not only prototypes, but it's building slide decks as well. And any kind of other graphics, and it's much more steerable by doing different tweaks. One of the largest design tool in the world, Canva and Figma. Figma's stock took a dip, you know, right away with Claude Design coming out. Our team has been in Claude Design. I've gotten really good feedback from our designers and our brand team. They've made it really easy for you to bring your design system in, that I'm talking like your key fonts and typography, your colors. I'd actually told my team to stop making slide decks a while ago because I hate how much time it takes us. We humans spend all this time nudging things around on the screen and playing with bullet points and stuff. But like AI just transforms information in useful ways from one format to another, from voice to text to slides. It summarizes, it expands. So I'm excited to start using, you know, that design tool more. And now when you're seeing more of these connectors come out, they've really been leaning into adding more connectors. But if you're feeling ready for it, if your connector isn't out there, as Adam said, as one of them wasn't for me, I have no coding experience, but I vibe coded my own connector and had it connected up to Claude for me to use. So you can even experiment with that too.
No, that's amazing. Yeah. And you're so right. Like the Claude design, I think what's really interesting with Anthropic's doing, you know, because ChatGPT had a clear advantage, right? They had the name brand of what AI is for the average consumer, and they got off to such a head start. They overtook everyone in terms of adoption at the free accounts in the $20 a month accounts. But what Anthropic's been quietly working on over the last year especially is how do we go after specific niches of high value work, right? And so they started with code and they really leapfrogged everyone from a code perspective. And I don't know a developer in my sphere now that isn't using Claude Code, like on the daily, and doesn't have at least $100 a month subscription. And now they're doing the same with designers, right? So they've gone for the coders, now they're going for the UI folks and the design folks. And it's so good. And you can see just in their revenue, like their ramp rate, they've gone up to like from $1 billion a year to a $30 billion a year company. They're probably on their way to a $60 billion. Like it's their stock price when they go public is going to be more, their IPO is going to be bigger than ChatGPT's at this point. You know, their valuation's higher. They've really had a better strategy to corner the market for professional work, in my opinion. Adam, you wanted to say something?
Oh, no, actually, I was just scratching my head, but I was agreeing with you. The trajectory is just incredible.
I think the models themselves, I agree. Claude Code has just taken off in an incredible way. As of, I think the holiday season is when I remember it really started to happen. But OpenAI has Codex, which is kind of their answer to it. Top engineers say that there's only like a 10 or 20% difference between the two. So, in my opinion, choosing what model to use is, in the case of Claude, not only is it, in my opinion, a little better, but again, those are in the margins. What Claude's actually done for an organization is created an orchestration layer for a whole organization to adopt Claude together. That's why we've moved our whole company, over to Claude. And I'd say that, to me, that is not only focusing on knowledge work and what they've done is help drive revenue for them, but this choice they made in helping you orchestrate workflows and skills across multiple team members is for the first time I've ever seen it take using AI out of a very individual copy and paste kind of mode for every employee to team level orchestration and workflows.
And I think it's going beyond that, right? Because so many people think about AI as a place they go to do a thing. And what they're doing now, especially with these connectors to things like Photoshop, is it's just going to be omnipresent in our lives, right? It's going to be a layer that sits around anything we're doing that we can access via multiple different methodologies. And it's just going to augment everything we do. That's where we're really close to being at that point.
I've
I
been
think
using,
Dan. Oh, go ahead, Jeanette.
I was just saying, I was using Claude Code over this week to create a PowerPoint presentation for a keynote I'm doing in a couple of weeks. And the second slide says, most of us use AI, few of us work inside of it. And that's the shift.
I think Dan also brought up a really important use case that everybody in the destination marketing industry needs to understand. And there's two ways leadership is approaching AI implementation. Way number one is, well, those that are embracing it, let's say. But way number one is, yeah, you guys go use the tools that you want to use. Just go try stuff and do stuff. And then others are figuring out how to do it at the organizational level. And one of the things that I've had to learn the hard way is one of the critical steps in setting your organization up on it is you have to create a master context document. So let me give you an example. As Brand Revolt, we have our collective marketing philosophy that combines what I talk about on my podcast. It combines how our brand book and brand guide and everything that we look at from a marketing perspective and how we approach marketing, all the content we've created, so on and so forth. That actually also includes our RFP responses. It includes our statements of work and everything in between. We had to bring all of that content into a master context document that our team could upload at the start of each project so that they're on strategy and on philosophy with everything they do for our clients. The problem with that, though, and this is why I want to make sure that this is important for every destination marketing leader to listen to, is you are opening up the door for your context to live within AI and not transfer to employees as they come and go. And so I think it's really critical to not only create the context layer for your organization that's kind of your master document, but you also need to create the what does that mean for members of my organization for them to internalize and exercise from that point forward? And so we actually have an all staff meeting on Monday scheduled right now where I'm going to be rolling out the master context document that we've created, but then also for each individual, what's the revolt code is what we're calling it. And it's 19 points that are essentially a distillation of all of our company context of how do we approach every single project that we do and everything that we work on, and what does it mean to be a member of the Brand Revolt team? I think without doing that, the disjointedness that's about to happen to every organization is going to be really, really challenging and difficult, and you're going to have the wild, wild west in within Claude, within your organization.
Well, we've had that for a while, right, with AI, is everyone's sort of on their own path. And there's really little sort of people talk a lot about the K-shaped economy, but there's also a K-shaped adoption, right? Where you've got the folks that are really accelerating and the folks that are lagging behind. And so I think what you're describing is happening. I think what Claude has created, especially with this orchestration level where it can have an ongoing knowledge of the base or access to a base level of documents that are already always considered in the context. I think that's, and now we can develop better standards and operating procedures. I think we're going to see an end to that. Or at least I think the smart organizations are going to put an end to that. And I really do think we're at the beginning of a rethinking of what the org structure looks like and what is whose responsibility and role is AI? Is it IT? Is it marketing? Is it even legal, right? And is there something new that doesn't exist? Is it HR? Is it like, does it, who's responsible for this? I think we're going to see a massive shuffle and a conversation around that. Jeanette, you were about to say something?
I was going to ask Adam where, so this document exists, where in Claude is the user putting that? Like, are you creating a project? Like, let's say we're using Cowork. Are you creating a project folder that has, like, for me, I teach my staff, like let's make a personal operating system. And we're using something called the Para filing format in order to manage our personal work. Slash our work, and you can put in then, I guess, instructions or in your claude.md file. So is that where this lives?
So this is the file that everyone will need to have, and my recommendation is on the desktop, that they upload at the start of every task, right? And so, or no, I shouldn't say upload, because with Claude you actually point it to a folder, right, to start your project. But everybody should start there, and then we're actually building master client context documents as well. So if you're working on a client project, you're now combining the Brand Revolt context with the client context, and you're so far ahead on starting the project than you would be if you're building that context from scratch on each project, if that makes sense.
So how are we handling updating those context files? Because that, and my assumption is just Claude will not, at some point, it won't just work on my literal computer, on my machine. It will work across an organization. But we were having this conversation this morning.
So go ahead, Dan. I want you to chime in on this.
I think there in the backdrop to this, there's sort of a there's been a shift in the way we think, I think, about using AI right now is that all of our work on the internet has been in the cloud. Like all these apps that we use are up in the cloud. And that's how we started using ChatGPT. And once you go through that kind of aha moment, then the next one is using like Jeanette, you said it really well in what you mentioned from your PowerPoint around like we're actually doing work in AI. Like AI is getting work done rather than copying and pasting things back and forth from the cloud. Now, with Adam, with what you're doing, uploading that file is okay, but these models now are the most powerful when they're using local files on your computer. And it's very strange that like we've come from a world of the internet and the cloud. And it's strange for me to say, right? Like I've been living in this space and this tech for so long that now I'm operating on my computer with local Markdown files, local CSV files, local PDFs. And we were brainstorming. We've been trying to figure out at CrowdRift, like, how do you distribute, share, and update all those files? So in our case, we're using Google Drive with a special setting that was a full mirroring of Drive. I also use Dropbox. You might use Box. But these tools are becoming useful again in the sense that you don't have to cram that all into one big file. You can have you could have lots of client files and lots of information, and the whole team can have that synced through Dropbox or Box or whatever. And then whenever they open up Cowork from that folder, they do work, and the work gets generated and produced back into the same folder.
I
I like
that's
that.
how we're looking to approach it. We're a Microsoft house, so we use SharePoint or OneDrive. And so it's easy for us to mirror or have a group OneDrive folder for those core documents that everyone has access and is syncing locally to our desktop. So even if someone makes an update, it's everyone's getting the update.
We're on Box, and so I think it's like the connector is a little clunkier, and it's something I don't quite understand, and it's about that mirroring. So it's we're like we're still trying to work it out, and it's not there yet.
these syncing tools have tried to get clever and they don't sync the full file. They just sync a reference, right? They sync a few bytes of a reference of a file. And that's not going to work for Claude. So usually there's a setting you can figure out somewhere. It might be a full sync or mirroring mode or download mode where you can choose entire folders or sections of your box or whatnot and have that fully sync. But once you're able to do that, then yeah, everybody's like working from that shared, like that shared knowledge area.
Yeah.
No, the one question, this actually solves it a little bit, is how recent do you need that for those changes to be? Like, is it, if you don't need real time, like how often is your core values, I forget what you call them, but essentially your core, but 19 core values, how often are they changing? Not very often, right? So that's an easier document that you can sync as a batch job. It's when you're doing real time changes that people need to know more frequently. That's when it's a little more challenging. Well, I didn't realize we were going to get quite so nerdy quite so quick. I'll be honest, guys. Like, we went from 101 to like PhD level in like 5 minutes. So this is great. But I want to bring it back down. So we invited you guys onto the show to talk just in general about AI and what you guys are seeing, what we're doing. If you have any sort of controversial opinions, we'd love to hear those too. But Jeanette, I'd like you to start, and then also sort of intro why you wanted Dan to be on this show too, and some of the stuff that they're doing at CloudRift. But what are you seeing as the biggest missed opportunity right now from a DMO perspective with AI?
Oh, I mean, I think it's to start making this transition from you go to the chatbot to do work, and like, let's make this transition now to working inside of AI. Like, it is $20 a user a month. Like, let's start figuring this out. And it's like, find the people on your team who are interested in this, give them a little more free rein to play. Like, people are very concerned about breaking something or doing something wrong, or like getting in trouble with IT because, oh, you weren't meant to go into terminal to do this thing. Like, let's create an environment where you get a little bit more permission, where it's a little bit safer to go and actually run these tools through their paces, so that it's not just two people in a silo secretly doing AI work. We've got to get it through the entire organization. And that's only going to be with the culture of permission and safety.
Yeah. So again, this comes down to whose jurisdiction is it, which I was mentioning, right? Right now, a lot of, especially C-level folks that don't understand this stuff, are defaulting to who their subject matter expert is on technology. A lot of times that's IT, right? And a lot of times IT's job is not to push on innovation, is to protect the organization from security risks. And so same with attorneys, right? They're inherently there to stop you doing something stupid. And so their defaults are always going to be on the negative. Whereas marketers typically are more innovative, typically more risk-taking, but typically kind of cavalier and risky in nature. And so they're not really thinking about the high consequence decisions that they're making. But I mean, the reality is, if we were to go and install like OpenClaw on our network tomorrow, right, it could expose all of our passwords and wipe all of our emails and do stuff. We've seen these horror stories. So, but there's got to be a balance in the middle, but there also has to be some kind of new operating process by which we can listen to the concerns and make an evaluated decision. But who's responsible for that decision? Because it's very few people in the org actually have the skill set and the knowledge and the discernment to make those kind of big decisions. You know, not everyone has a technically forward-thinking person that has the authority. So how do we solve that?
I kind of be curious how Dan solved it. I mean, I know how Brand USA solved it, is they brought me on board. And then this happened a few months later. They, the technology team now reports into me. And it's been great. Like, it is a great team, and they're so excited to help every person in the company, go through the paces of how do we install these tools? How do we get to the next step? Our director of technology oversees the skills, the company skills, which includes maintaining them. We have a PowerPoint skill that creates Brand USA, you know, branded PowerPoints. But if you don't go, you know, if the skill that it's built on changes, she also needs to make some changes to it. So she's in there always tweaking it and updating it. And it means it's not, it's not just a one person Jeanette job. Like it is a full team effort. So, but I don't think that the solution at Brand USA did, like, that's not going to work at every company. So
not everyone
like,
can hire Jeanette, right? You haven't got the clones completed yet to where we
not
can
yet.
Mass produce them. Dan, what are you doing with your organization? How did you solve it?
Yeah, I mean, I recognize we're a tech company, so I understand that the environment is different, but I'll share the story for what it's worth anyway. If you remember back, we all started out with, I think, people that were kind of unsure about using AI. I think most people have gotten past that point now. We got to a point where, well, for myself and my co-founder, who is our CTO, we really needed to see faster adoption across CrowdRift. So we even went to the point of giving everybody upwards of $1,000 a year, kind of like their own development dollars in a way. We just said, you can have $1,000 a year to use whatever AI tools you want. I think people are often held back by all these different free tools, or again, either policies or a lack of policy and worried about getting in trouble. But the people that are the real, really getting curious, the real kind of renegades, they're going to find a way to use AI anyway. I'm sure there's people in all these organizations that are already using a lot of AI. You're better off to just talk about it out in the open. You got to make sure this is not any kind of a secret. You celebrate the use of AI. You recognize those individuals. You do not want to have people that are using AI to do their work and not telling anybody about it. You want them talking about it. So identify that little cohort of people in your company that are kind of what the saying, I guess, is AI pilled. almost feel like it's like almost unhealthy at this point, but I'm too busy building things to get help. But you can bring those people together, and then you get them to start first sharing what they're doing, and then help them empower a few other people. And if you can have, in our case, our HR leader has been really on board. So, her job is to empower our staff to be highly productive and effective as an HR leader. So I know it's not your classic kind of viewpoint, but she's been reading lots of articles about organizational design with AI, how to introduce it, how to empower people. And so that has helped with our CFO. It has helped that Claude is weirdly great at Microsoft stuff. You don't usually see this from a new piece of technology. Usually new technology focuses on Google stuff first. And then eventually when they build an enterprise plan that's too expensive for most of us, they do the Microsoft thing. This didn't happen with Claude. So with Claude, you got an opportunity to go talk to your CEOs, your CFOs, the people who sit in spreadsheets all day, and magical things can happen when you're using Claude inside Excel. So I think that like that can help generate some of the buy-in. Adam, to your earlier point about there's things happening all over the organization, people are in all these different tools. We had that problem too. And we're all going to have that challenge. Maybe it might be the case for many destinations right now. They have that challenge. Some people are going to be using Gemini or Perplexity or Claude or ChatGPT. And then we had to make a choice as a company. The like leaders had to come together and make a choice, a moment that we said, we are all moving to Claude. If you are using a paid version of ChatGPT, we'll give you 3 more months to sort of, or like another month or 3 months to shut it down. There's now migration services to bring those memories and history over to the next tool. But we thought it's just too important. We need everybody to be in one system. Jeanette, like having a director of technology manage skills and the change log of those skills is very, very smart. And now we've got 7, I think we have 50 out of 70 of our people in Claude now.
That makes sense. I think, if I'm playing devil's advocate, right? The average DMO does not have you and your co-founder at the head of the organization, right? You're a technologist, your company is a technology company. But when I think about the Luddite Stuffy McStufferson, who's the CEO of DMO X, they're not going to have the vision.
Oh, I know him.
Courage, the, Stuffy McStufferson?
I actually don't know them.
Oh, man. But they're not going to have the courage or the imagination to push for this, right? And so we're going to be stuck in the existing inertia where IT is going to defend the status quo because that's typically what IT does. Marketing is going to go rogue because that's typically what IT does. Legal's going to try to slow everything down because that's what legal does. And so you need leadership. So how do we get leadership to understand why this is important and educate them to a level to either be able to make the decision or to delegate the decision to someone that's qualified to make that decision, you know?
I mean, I make that as much of a part of my work as I possibly can to share that message with the CEOs that it's urgent that this be addressed, that there is a threat to ignoring it. Because if you just have BYO AI, it's like letting if that employee who has their own Chat GPT or whatever account, and they're putting company information into it, and then they leave your organization, they don't get to keep their email address. They don't get to keep, access to SharePoint files. So why do they get to keep everything that's in that Chat GPT, which also maybe it's a free account. So maybe that information isn't secure and it's being used to train models. Like it's more of a threat to do nothing than it is to actually just put a policy and some pay tools in place.
Well, I want to, because Stuart talked about how a lot of destinations don't have the technologists in the organization and the personnel that maybe both Jeanette and Dan, you guys have talked about. I would like to have you, Jeanette, talk about what are the responsibilities within a DMO that you foresee should be AI? Excuse me, I'm getting emotional
Bless
apparently.
you.
But what should be managed through AI? What should be like, let's look forward 24 months, let's say, because if we try to look too far forward, everything's going to change. But let's say
I
24
think
months.
24 is too far, dude. I really,
Okay.
I think
Well,
you've got
you
to
don't know what
look
I'm going to
forward.
ask yet, but I get what you're saying. So let's look
Yeah.
at 12 months, right? What should be handled by a DMO internally? What should be entirely managed by AI? And what should be, offloaded to a vendor? Like, how should destination leaders who are probably at a medium sophistication level be thinking about what the ideal situation is with AI so that they can push their organization forward?
I think inside of a tool like Claude Code or Claude Cowork, it's all about right now we are, switching tasks 1,000 times a day. Like if you think about your marketing team, if you're trying to put together a report for somebody and you need to, how did this campaign do? And I used to call this being the data hobo. I got to go log in, to 10 different SaaS tools and, social media platforms to figure out how did this perform? How many impressions did it get? Oh, can we attach any economic, attribution to something or other? And then you sit and you paste it all into a PowerPoint, and then you're emailing that PowerPoint to somebody. What we are moving to is that in the morning, I open up Claude Code inside of VS Code, and I expect all of the information that I need to be connected via API or MCP to my Claude Code account. And so that means if I need to run a report on something, I'll give you an example. Our social media team once a month, determines which videos, social media pieces we need to boost in 5 specific markets. We have a number of social media handles because sometimes we have in language for individual markets, but not for like only for 3 of the 5 markets where we are boosting. So the social media, person in charge of this spelled out the business requirements for me in just like plain language, and I vet it into code, and I'm like, I guess we must have an API for Sprout Social. What do you need? Oh, give me this. I acquired the API key and it walked me through connecting that to a Google sheet that then has an automatic script so that once a month I'm like, oh, could you run that automation? And honestly, I shouldn't even need to type that, right? Like that's the next piece I haven't figured out is that it just happens. But when I type that, It then goes, it pulls in through this API to the Google Sheet. It makes one sheet of all of our posts on every platform and every channel. Then it makes a second sheet that is, these are the ones that apply to the markets you're looking at in the places that we do boosting, like not LinkedIn. And then it does a third one. It's like, based on your criteria, these are the five that we recommend boosting for the next month. And so you can go back and that lets you check the work of the AI. You don't just assume that it looked at every post correctly. Like that's where, and that doesn't really require leaving Claude. And in 12 months, that doesn't need to go, if it goes to a separate Google Sheet, it will just tell you back in Claude what it said, and it should feed back immediately to the agency, hey, this is what you need to do. Like the thing that used to be a person going, logging into Sprout Social and pulling out that information and then just making a decision and then typing an email and sending it to the agency should require little to no human at all.
Yeah.
And what human wants to do that work? Like that's not amazing, enjoyable work. Like that should be automated.
Yeah.
So all that is a microcosm.
Yeah. I think you're 100% right. I think all of the administrative, load related to a project, a task that you have to have pay attention to should be almost completely eliminated within 12 months. Like the administrative fact piece of it. But I think the way I think about it, there's different types of things I'm working on, right? And I spend too much time in email. I spend too much time sort of with the admin stuff, but there's things I just need to consume, just knowledge that I need to have, right? AI is going to do a great job of being able to bring all that in from all these disparate systems and present it in a way that I can digest it more efficiently than I can today. I'm not going to have to go to multiple places, multiple emails. It's just going to be like, okay, I recognize this is all the stuff you need to know. Boom. And I'll be able to consume that in as efficient way as possible. There's a stuff I need to look at, consume, but also make a simple affirmative decision. It's like, okay, so-and-so asked this. I think the answer is this. Do you want me to send that to them? And it's going to be a lot of that affirmative, negative, just kind of like right now when you get a meeting invite, you just say accept, decline, tentative, right? So I think there's going to be, for a lot of your workload, that's going to be the second sort of piece of your dashboard that you're working from. And then there's the one where it's more, this is a project that needs your discernment, taste, you actually focusing on, where you're going to actually dig in a little deeper. It's going to give you the brief and you can more like your task list. And then there's this stuff where you're prompting proactively stuff. So I think there's sort of these four compartments of a dashboard that will live. And like Jeanette said, you're living in that one system. You're living within AI. You're not copying and pasting. You're not jumping from email to Claude and back. It's just one interface. I think that's where we are in 12 months.
Yeah.
I guess it still goes back question wise for me. Sorry, Dan, and maybe you can help me continue to answer this. Like, how should a destination marketing leader then, who's not at the level where you guys are at from a sophistication perspective, be thinking about planning for human resources, technology resources, vendor resources? How should I be planning?
You need one or a team of people that have that capability to do everything Jeanette just said she's doing right now. You need your version of a Jeanette stuff.
Step one, pick a champion. If it's somebody on your team, you have to pick and assign a champion right now. If you don't have that person on your team, you have to get that person on your staff.
100%. And that could be your IT person. It could be your marketing person. It could be your HR person. Who's got the aptitude and attitude to really be the what we used to call for the website, the webmaster, right? What is that for AI? Who's our AI master in your organization?
Yeah, he's somebody who's just, they don't have to be very technical, but they have to be just technical enough that they generally understand how like software and works. They know what an API is, or like they understand how things can connect. Like they have to have a general feel for how the computer kind of works, like how software comes together in a way, so that you know data can move from here to here, and then they can kind of connect those dots. I don't think the person has to be really senior in the organization, Because I find that that champion, it's not just having a leader and then you have a bunch of change. I actually think there's a series of many more aha moments that are to come for a lot of people, because I didn't know that they were to come for me either. I thought that I'd had my moment with ChatGPT, and it took me a while actually. But then when it happened and I started using it every day, it clicked. And what I didn't know was that like a year later, something else was gonna click or snap, if you will. And then this whole new world would open up. And so when Adam, you were asking what should or shouldn't DMOs be focused on with AI, I think Jeanette and I found that we were kind of default aligned on this. We hadn't spoken in years. We caught up in Vancouver, and without talking beforehand, we realized we were both doing almost the same thing. We both had the same moments that happened in the last several months. And it's not what to use AI for or not for. You get to a moment where you end up using AI for almost everything you're doing throughout the day from like a central place. And so it's tough because you can't really, I think you have to experience it through examples and through realizing it for yourself. But if you have that leader in your organization and they can demo things that they've used it for, that really, I think, helps unlock things. I know it has for like our team.
Yeah,
Okay.
we've started redoing what back in the day, Jeanette had shared with me something Kara Franca used to do, which was talk about it in their stand-up meetings with the team. Like, well, how have you used AI this week? And we did that for I'd say the first 3 months after everyone was on ChatGPT, and it pushed us, accelerated us so fast. But then we sort of got out of the habit because there weren't those like aha moments happening on the regular anymore. It was like, okay, we're all very comfortable. We found this sort of mass opportunity of how to use it, but it's not changing that much, right? And so we got out of it. But Diane and I were talking last week. I'm like, we've got to get back into this because this is that new watershed moment that ChatGPT brought with Claude Cowork, Claude Code, Claude Design, now these direct interfaces to the tools. So our team is going to start talking about it on the regular again. We've got to create a culture of innovation, of acceptance, of curiosity, what Jeanette calls wonder. We've got to do all of that stuff again. Now's the
Dan,
time.
would you share, what I love is how we actually came to have this meeting when we were at the City Destination Place conference in Vancouver.
Oh, right, that I'd reached out to you. Yeah, in the spirit of using AI for a lot of things, including, tedious administrative work, I've been attending a lot of events. It's the season. And so before these events, based on the folks that are attending the conference, I would ask Claude to, based on their email address, it would check my email and calendar history to see if I've ever spoken to them before. Then it would check their domain name to see if I've ever connected with anybody at their organization before. It would summarize and catalog a little bit of what we talked about. It helped me prioritize, folks that I should be connecting with at the event in groups. Then it walked me through email by email some ideas of how to sort of craft an email out to them. And as I gave it feedback, I would send the first couple of emails, which are each done manually. Like I sent each email myself, but it did all the research, brought forward all the context. It was like, remember, you had coffee with this person a year ago, and like this is what happened. This was what transpired with their colleague over email, 6 months ago. And then I would give it feedback. And as I gave it feedback, the next email would constantly be updated and improved. And it could have gone even further because now it can draft the email for you in your outbox. So you can just review it there. But when we were at that event too, Jen, I don't think I mentioned this, but it's nice at these events to know what sessions are coming up in your actual calendar instead of having to use something else. So before these events now, I'll ask Claude to go and take the conference schedule, go find the conference schedule and add it to my calendar. And again, I had a
That's
colleague there
smart.
who's been using AI a lot. But then when he saw that I'd done that, again, he just wanted to know, he's like, show me. Like, I want to do that too. And so if you can have more of these kind of show me moments of, wait, you did what? Show me how you did that. You need to like replicate that a lot.
Yeah, that's super smart. I love what you said about you could have gone all the way and had it sent like craft and send the email, but you were doing that manually because that's, I think, the mistake a lot of people. Just because you can do it with AI does not mean you should. An example of that recently, I made a post. I just hit my 5 year anniversary here at Visit Myrtle Beach, and I was just sort of reflecting a little bit and being a little nostalgic. And I got the normal comments from, you know, an obligatory one from Adam making fun of me for something and a couple of the other people in the industry. And there was one from someone I don't know, but it was like a dissertation. And it sounded like they were trying to be really intelligent, but it was clearly AI written. Clearly someone's just scanning posts, automatically replying to stuff, no human in the loop. And it really gave me a visceral reaction. Like, I don't know this person, but I don't want to know, right? I don't want to reach out to them. It had the opposite effect of what they were trying to do. And so you could have easily done that with your emails, where you send a Claude created email that went to Jeanette and she'd be like, who's this guy that I haven't talked to in 10 years that's using AI to write an email? So I think the discernment, the human in the loop piece, is still really critical. But I love what you're doing there with we just need a better place to, I know Jeanette, you push out a lot of examples on your platforms, but like, how do we get this to the masses? How do we show people, have a depository of, here's how I'm using AI in the industry, and you can too. I don't know. We need that platform, I think.
God, yeah. I mean, the platform and then the visibility of the platform.
Because everyone's actually adopting. Yeah.
Right. Because like, I'll do a monthly webinar and I'll post things on LinkedIn, or I'll put things on, you know, my personal website. But like, that's, you know, a drop in the bucket of what's needed.
Yeah.
Which is constant inspiration. Noise. Yeah.
Yeah. But we got to figure
out. We need
out
a weekly live show and tell.
That would be cool. Adam's going to start another podcast. Dan already criticized him before the show about having too many podcasts.
Too many. He did.
So Adam's going to start another one. It'll be like your 52nd, I think.
Yeah, call it a workshop or something, or call it a
It's not a podcast. It's a show and tell. It's a show.
Yeah, because there's a and tell. But yeah, you're right, Jeanette. Like, you can do the webinars, and I know there's presentations, but like, there's I mean, it takes a lot of initiative from each person too. But I almost find like, the ability to have a mini workshop or have these sessions where it's like, join today, and we're all going to learn how to, you know, use Claude to analyze our meetings, our daily meetings, and help us with our takeaways and next steps. Or today we're going to use Claude to do this. And we kind of like, it's kind of a work alongside thing a little bit more. It doesn't necessarily take a lot of time. But.
Yeah. I for one think Brand USA should create that hub for us all to look at and continue to go to. You already kind of have for your own content, but how do we get other people's, right?
Right, exactly. And I mean, and I will say though, people get shy about this stuff. Like, I would hesitate to volunteer to host a podcast or a webinar of a sharing nature, because it would just be me begging people, no, what you're doing is great. Please share it. And like, people, you know, they're still like, oh, shucks, not me. And like, they hide it.
Yeah. There's so much knowledge though that we need right now. Like, it's the DMO world has been so far behind other industries. And I think our nature of being collaborative is a massive advantage now, if we can unshackle ourselves from the risk aversion. So I think there's an opportunity like we've never had before to not just catch up with other industries, but overtake them. And it's an existential risk not to do that right now. We're going to get defunded and be obsolete if we don't.
And I do think there is a risk right now. And what I'm seeing, I'm kind of connecting the dots here, even from this conversation, Stuart, that like, I've noticed that at several of the events I was at, let's say there was like 15 to 20 sessions, there was one on AI. And yes, as you said, Jeanette, that one session was not.
It's the same session they've been having for 3 years.
But it's because, as you said, Stuart, like, the people are still back here. Like, they think that AI has happened. It was ChatGPT. And now my team's using ChatGPT, and we say ChatGPT around the
check
office.
The box. Yeah.
Like, we did it. And now we don't have to talk about it at conferences anymore. We don't need more sessions on it. But it's because, I think now it's really important, because maybe we've ended up in this state where we think we've kind of got it at this point. And the industry, like, we as an industry haven't realized that there's this next level we need to get to quickly. And that's why because a year ago, 80% of those talks would have been about AI. And I was at these, I was like, wait a minute, what happened? Are we done? Do we think we're done? Is this like
And when it's a talk, it is the same talk. It's all right. Well, we can't talk about AI until you understand the difference between machine learning and generative. I'm like, who cares at this point if you don't know?
Stuffy McStufferson presented that one. It sounded like that was his voice to a T. It was perfect. Well, this is great, guys. We're getting short on time, but I just want to sort of go around the room and just give any final thoughts or ahas that have happened today. I think we're going to have you guys back on in short order and just talk about all the other stuff. And Jeanette, especially, I'll go to you first, let you sort of say any final thoughts, but also you're probably, no, not even probably, you are the best resource in the industry for folks that are looking to understand AI. You publish so much on LinkedIn, you've got your own website, you go and talk everywhere. So point these desties in a direction to where they can find all that information and give us your final thoughts before you do that.
All right. Final thoughts, like now's the time. And I think it's the right move that Dan made with his company, like move over to Claude. We have been talking, you know, like quietly internally about, is it the time to get rid of the ChatGPT subscriptions, get everybody all in on Claude. I've started a like weekly on Fridays, just an open Claude, you know, co-work session where we, you know, and the technology team joins me so that if people are having a hard time getting something set up, they are there to, you know, help walk individuals through the actual setup of tools. And then it's like, okay, this week we're creating, you know, a task system. Last week we connected it to our email, and how can we get a daily kind of email digest with creating a voice skill that mirrors my, you know, my email writing voice, like just picking a topic, but making it so that it is open enough that anybody can come in at any level and be like, all right, I'm ready to start on the Claude train now. And I mean, so this is, we're still pretty new in this process, but it already feels really good to me. I think this is going to be our path forward. So I'd say like awesome. this is the time to do it. And if you want to find more about like the resources that I'm kind of creating, I have a personal website that I keep just as a playground, and it's JeanetteRausch.com.
That's amazing. Thank you, Jeanette. Dan, thank you for being a first time Desti. We appreciate you being on. Any final thoughts from you, and where can they find you?
Well, yeah, I guess my final thought would just be some advice. Advice to leaders is something to try, something that's been a huge unlock for me. As a leader, instead of asking for reports, ask for the data. Try asking for the data. One of the things that's been amazing I've found is when you ask for the data, you put all that data together, and then just start asking questions about your data. It's incredible how fun and empowering that is. Mm-hmm. You could take your hotel data, take your media data, take your economics and zip code data, put it in a folder, and point Claude at that folder, like Claude Cowork, for example, and start asking it questions. Mm-hmm. And even more fun if you use voice, if you kind of use the voice control, and you can just say, like, you know, show me if there's any insights related to our zip codes and, you know, economic data mapped to our hotel stays and our media spend, where we've been spending over the last 6 months. And it'll go to work looking at all the fields, understanding all the data, looking for connections. You'll start to enjoy just learning more about the data that you have available to you in a way that you just don't get to dive into through PowerPoint decks and reports. So it's been a big unlock for me. And I would say that if you start to do that as a leader, it'll be kind of a gateway drug into a lot more.
Yeah. And if you don't know which questions to ask, tell AI, if you were me, that whatever my role is, what questions should I be asking of this data? You know, so you don't even have to think too much. Like, it's amazing. Where can they find you, Dan?
You can reach out to me anytime. I'm dan.holowack@crowdriff.com, and always available to spend time connecting with people or on LinkedIn, dan.holowack@crowdriff.
Great. Adam, bring us home, sir.
Well, I just want to take it to the takeaway for DMOs, especially those that are not sure where to go from here. choose your AI champion that's capable of and can be responsible for everything related to AI in the organization as far as pioneering and blazing the trail. And if you don't have that person in the organization, you have to hire that person. And I think that's the place to start and make that assignment of responsibility and accountability there. And that's how you can make sure you get it done. So as far as a takeaway goes, to me, that's the most actionable takeaway for DMOs that might be listening. Other than that, I really appreciate Dan and Jeanette, you guys coming on. I've learned a ton, Jeanette, every time you've come on and talked about AI. So really appreciate the opportunity to have both of you here to talk through this with us. It's been great.
Thanks for having us.
Of course, Jeanette, I wish I could hire you, but I think the advice is solid. Like, hire a version, a facsimile of Jeanette. It can't be, to Adam's point, if you do assign someone that you already have, it can't be someone that already has a 40-hour a week work week that's already chock full, right, of meetings and other responsibilities. You need someone with time on their hands to really embrace this stuff, learn this stuff, experiment with this stuff. But they also have to have the smarts enough not to burn the house down, because there is a real risk. We've seen stories recently, even with Facebook, when one of their heads of security ended up having to literally unplug the machine from the internet because it was deleting all of her emails and she couldn't stop it, right? So there are real risks. So you need someone that you trust enough to not go too far in the wrong direction. But I agree. I think you all changed my mind today. I think we're going to have a conversation in our office, one about less potentially phase out. I like the 3-month sort of phase out that you guys did at CloudRift, Dan. Like, let's phase out ChatGPT and move to Claude. It's so far ahead. And let's get them from $20 a month subscriptions to $100 a month subscriptions. So I think we're at that point where we got to, especially the creative and the technology folks. I think it's a game changer. This is great, guys. I appreciate you all being there. Desties, I'm telling you, I'm going to get really mad at all of our Desties if I don't get more reviews on Apple Podcasts. Like, we haven't had a written review in 4 months. Adam called me last night. He was crying about it. He literally said, well, what's the point of existing anymore if we don't get more reviews on Apple Podcasts? So,
and Coach Dad stepped months, in. Coach Dad stepped Coach, in.
I did. Absolutely. So go do it. If you want to reach out to me, stuart.butler@visitmontalbeach.com. Until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh, you're still recording, so my mouth is shut.